Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Utsah, the youth hour on Radio Sai. For all those who want to be young, who want to be energetic and enthusiastic to serve Sai eternally. For those who celebrate Sai in their lives with a newfound joy every day of their lives. Who wake up every morning listening to His voice within and without. And readying themselves to make Him a part of their daily life and living. Who want to make love the core of their existence.
Prema Swarupulara. Prema Swarupulara. Don't see David alone. Don't see David alone. Build David alone. Send the day with love. Send the day with love. This is the way to God.
How wonderful it is if we begin our day in this manner, isn't it? Listening to Him within and without. In fact, this is actually an alarm tone that we created in Radio Sai some time ago, but just listening to it fills you with so much of utsaha, isn't it? The way Bhagwan says, start the day with love, and the way Bhagwan exhorts each one of us, from the time He started speaking to us, He always addressed us as Prema Swarupulara, as embodiments of love. You are nothing but love, that's it. If only we can just ruminate on this, if only we can dwell on this, if only we can make this work in our life. Recently I had a conversation with Brother Raghunath Sharma, who is a senior alumnus of Bhagwan's college and university and who has been serving in the Prashantiniram campus as a faculty member in the Department of Mathematics and Computer Science for 25 years now. Someone who is always full of energy and activity, full of liveliness. When I asked him about utsaha, because he has seen Bhagwan for 3 decades or more, and when I asked him about what are those chief attributes that he has seen in Bhagwan, the energetic Bhagwan, what fascinated him as a youth, you know, he actually went on to share a very beautiful Telugu verse which Bhagwan Himself sings. And then he went about elaborating beautifully, interlacing with his own life experiences, this particular verse of Bhagwan. And very interestingly, this verse starts with the word utsaha. To me, it was a direct communication from Bhagwan about this program and about what constitutes the life of anyone who wants to celebrate God's love in his or her life. So let's listen to this, some parts of this conversation that I had with Brother Raghunath Sharma, and then we'll take it further and we'll build on that theme. Sai Ram, and welcome Brother Raghunath Sharma to Utsah, the Youth Hour.
Thank you, Ambishu. Happy once again.
So tell us, Brother, when I just mention Utsah, what occurs to your mind?
Utsah means actually enthusiasm. And there is a beautiful poem given by Swami on this. Utsah starts with this word, in fact. Mm-hmm. It goes like this. Utsaham sahasam dhairyam. Buddhi Shakti Parakramam, Shadaite Yatra Tishthanti, Tatra Deva Sahaya Krutam.
So what does it mean?
Which basically means, wherever these 6 qualities exist, that is enthusiasm, courage, bravery, wisdom, energy or power, and valor. Parakrama means valor. Wherever these six qualities exist, the God's help is assured.
Wow.
Descent. God's help will descend there.
Wherever you have these six qualities.
These six qualities.
Enthusiasm, bravery.
Bravery.
Valor.
Valor. And courage.
Courage.
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Shakti means energy or
strength.
Power.
So, I mean, you see, many are connected with courage and strength and valor. So, everything is connected about, you know, you taking that step.
Exactly. Initiative and...
Initiative. You having that confidence. As Swami says, self-confidence.
Yes,
you should first have that confidence.
Correct. Correct.
Wow.
And these are all the qualities generally we expect from youth and, you know...
Someone young at heart.
Young at heart. And,
yes. Yes. Wow.
So, Swami is an epitome of these qualities actually. When you come to Swami and start experiencing His love, and you start observing Him, you start seeing, in fact, all these qualities in Swami.
Wow. If you can elaborate, if you can take up some of these attributes and share with us how you have seen that play out in Bhagavan's
life. So, for example, if you take the message of Swami in discourses, all that, the wisdom that Swami gives to the devotees, students or faculty through His discourses, that is something very unique. I was always fascinated by this aspect, Swami. I mean, we come across a lot of literature, right, especially in our Sanskriti or Sahityam.
Our culture.
In our culture, we hear about great people. Now, one thing that I could clearly kind of see in Swami's message is, it combines the traditional values, and it has not only the message, but also it has application.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami puts it in a very modern way, right? Without sacrificing our value systems. So this is something very beautiful about Swami's message. For example, if you take from our mythology, there are stories connected to Ramayana or Mahabharata or Prahalada, right? Swami very beautifully puts it. Swami says, Kama, Krodha, Lobha. These three qualities, which are bad qualities, to progress anybody has to sacrifice these qualities first. And Swami associates each of these qualities with these characters. Like Ravana and Kumbhakarna. This Ravana stands for Kama, the desire.
Desire.
And Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha is connected to Krodha. Anger.
Anger.
And finally, Duryodhana from Mahabharata, associated with Lobha. And the usual story, right, goes like that. But Swami gives a very nice interpretation here. And He says, Rama stood for purity, a perfect human being. Right?
Yes.
Rama Vigrahavan Dharma.
Yes.
And so that purity is essential to conquer desire. Right?
Wow. I mean, the whole Ramayana, which is the story of Rama conquering Lanka, you know, killing Ravana, is all about purity, subduing desire.
And you get Sita. Sita is Jnana. Swami
Sita says. Is wisdom. Wow.
Okay. One small experience in this regard. Remember, we were all assembled in Trayavrindavan. It was 1988, during those days, as a student, second year BSc student. And there was this gentleman, devotee of Swami, used to bring regularly for sports meet some film or the other on Ramayana or Mahabharata. And one day evening after bhajans, Swami would come to auditorium and we'll have the great chance of seeing the movie with Swami.
Movie show with Swami.
Movie show with Swami.
So this is in the Institute Auditorium? Or
in the Institute Auditorium. Sometimes it has happened even in
Poonachandra Auditorium also.
Once or twice. But generally, it used to be only for students.
Wow.
Right? And nobody else is like permitted that time, and it's a totally exclusive session. And most of us used to sit in front of Swami, and we will face Swami and sit.
Oh, so you are actually, for you, the movie is watching Swami,
just watching
the movie.
Because you get to see Swami for something like 2 hours continuously.
Continuously, yes.
And that's a lovely chance, right? So Swami will go and tell me, what are you?
Why are you looking at me? Look at the movie.
Look at the movie. On that side. And sometimes even he will catch the head like this and then turn it and but anyway, so that gentleman had, I don't remember his name, he had come to Vrindavan, and during darshan time, he came and he was standing behind students, and Swami came out and saw that gentleman and said, "Em kavali, what do you want?"
Mm-hmm.
And he was keeping quiet, he was did not answer anything. Then Swami looked at us and then said, "See, he wants a son."
Oh.
Okay. And in Vrindavan, in the path, you will see that garden and bordering the garden, there's beautiful kind of a fence made with
small shrubs.
Small shrubs.
Yeah.
So Swami put his hand into one of those shrubs suddenly.
Oh.
Okay. It happened right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I was just sitting there. Right in front of me, there is a small shrub. Swami put his hand into that. The shrub doesn't have any flower or doesn't give forth any.
They are more decorative plants.
Decorative kind of plants, right. And Swami took out one fruit from that.
Oh.
Very strange looking fruit.
Fruit from that shrub.
Fruit from that shrub. This big it was.
I remember those plants just have colored leaves.
Colored leaves, that's all. Green, that's all. It's a decorative for.
Yeah.
Right. And when he took out that, we were all like excited, all that.
Was it the size of a lemon or bigger?
Like eggplant, that
brinjal. Oh, okay.
Brinjal.
Oh,
that's a big brinjal, that size. Color also was like a little grayish. That.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami held it in his hand and looked at him and then said, "Tisko," he said, and then threw it at him. "Take it," and threw it at him.
Wow.
He caught it and he was holding and then standing there for some time. And Swami said, "Not for wife, for you only, eat it." He said, because in stories you hear, you know, you take the fruit and give to your wife, you know, this is the usual story that generally. Swami said, "Not for your wife, you eat it." And he ate it. Then Swami again put the hand into the shrub.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all again so excited, because just now we witnessed that miracle.
Mm.
Swami said, "Meeku kavala," I said. "You also want a son." And Swami took out the hand, and this time nothing was there in the hand. Then he smiled at us. All our faces were like really excited. Then Swami said, "Koduku ante satyam, kuturu ante jnanam."
Oh, wow.
Right. Mm-hmm. Son means truth. Daughter means jnana.
Wisdom. Right?
Wisdom. And so I just remembered that.
Wow.
When Rama
goes
and conquers Ravana, vanquishes him, and then brings back Sita, it's the purity that is required to subdue the desire.
Desire, and then you attain wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom.
So beautifully Swami explains, right?
Wow.
This is the unique, one of the unique aspects of Swami's discourse. Similarly, Prahalada stands for bhakti. Hindu galad anduledani sandeham valadu. So, for Prahalada, he was so immersed in Lord Vishnu that he sees Vishnu everywhere. So, when you have aarti or that bhakti for God, then automatically anger dissolves.
Hmm.
Once Swami said, anger is also a kind of a love.
Hmm.
Depending on aberration, you know, it turns as anger. That whole anger turns into love when you pray to God.
Mm-hmm.
It is not something separate. Everything is same. That's how Swami put it. So when you pray to God, whatever anger or quantity you have in you, that becomes love.
Wow.
So that's the beauty of bhakti. Bhakti is required to conquer anger.
Anger.
And finally, Duryodhana, who stands for greed. So to remove greed or to conquer over greed, you need to get rid of moha or
attachment.
Right. Yes. So through Bhagavad Gita, you know, he removes that moha from Arjuna.
Arjuna.
Okay. You know, Vigata Jwaraha, that's the name, that's the word used in the context of Arjuna. Vigata Jwaraha means we got rid of that moha, which is the kind of a fever which was, you know, was possessing him.
So that fever of attachment had paralyzed him.
Paralyzed.
And he could not really, you know, take up the
bow
and
arrow and then
start
fight.
Fight.
Okay, fight against the greed or whatever.
Yes.
And then Swami says, right, Hiranyakashipu had so much anger about Vishnu, all that, and then Prahalada's bhakti eventually it subdued the anger, you can say that. And Swami says, how do you actually control anger in your real life?
Mm.
Then Swami gives practically how to tackle that in our own life.
Yes.
See, this is something very, again, unique that you perceive in many Swami's discourses. You will not only hear about message, you will see its application, also you will see how to practice it in your own life.
Correct.
And Swami says, one or two simple means to overcome anger. Swami says, you turn the tap, let the water fall into the vessel or the bucket. Continue to hear it for some time. Your anger will come down. Or pace up and down in the...
Take a walk.
Just take a walk.
Stroll.
Stroll, right? And in that place, which has given rise to the anger, those people, whatever, if possible, just try to slowly, silently walk away from that. Go away from that place.
Yes.
Right? Like this.
One more thing I remember, Swami says, just look at yourself in the mirror.
In the mirror. Yeah, correct. That's true.
Very difficult to get angry and look at a mirror, you know. You will definitely, immediately not want to see that nasty face of yours.
Wow. So, this is something that actually, you know, that really attracted me to Swami.
Wow. So, you are seeing how you have been hearing these legends and these stories, but here was someone who gave such a profound... significance.
Yes, yes, that's true. So we have been hearing this all along.
Yeah, to all
right?
these stories.
But
yes.
to see this in this light, and you know, only Swami could give.
Yes.
And Swami also gives some very simple objects and day-to-day things that you use. From that he will spin a spiritual lesson. Yes. That's something very special when it comes to Swami. He will see objects around him and yes. then he will say, see, just as this glass is there, tumbler, yes. right? Water, when you put it, it takes the shape of the water.
Yes.
So divinity also can take any shape. See, yes. we have yeah. heard this kind of things,
yes.
right?
Yeah. That only great masters can
great
be,
masters.
Isn't it?
Correct.
Because they are so thorough with the subject that
yes.
they can take anything and
yes.
create
yes.
an example out of
so
it.
So every object around Swami becomes a source for, you know, spiritual lesson.
Lesson, oh yeah. Absolutely. When you live with Swami, you see that, isn't it?
Correct. So that's why living with Swami is education.
True education.
True education means observing the master. In the presence of master, what you get, you cannot get in the books.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you may read any number of books.
Yes.
But the physical presence of master.
Yes.
So it has that...
unmatched impact, really.
Correct.
Wow. Amazing. So as a youngster, this is what appealed to you about Swami?
Yes. Wow. And say Swami's enthusiasm or... this is another small incident I would like to share.
Sure.
See, the way Swami encourages the youth, that is something very phenomenal actually. And most of the students are lucky to experience this particular aspect. If anybody shows up a small talent in him, immediately Swami will hold on to that boy and then he will try to encourage him, make sure that he improves in that. See, that is something very nice about Swami. If you are good in one thing, Swami will encourage that and he will give an encouragement such a way that you become more and more skillful in that, and any number of such instances are there. Like there was one student who used to draw very beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
All that Swami did was, in the darshan lines he said, you draw this particular gentleman's figure and show it to me tomorrow. The next day he will show that. Then he said, you draw this particular thing. Like that. So over time, that became like sadhana for him. Drawing for Swami.
Yes.
When you do things for Swami, so automatically because of that offering, that knowledge or that practice gets converted into skill. Right? So this is another thing which Swami says. Convert your knowledge into skill. If you use it for bad purposes, it's like killing it.
Yes.
Skilling and then killing.
Yes.
Right? So, when you offer it to God, it becomes real.
Offer
skill.
It to Sai,
Sai
then
yeah.
you skill it.
Skill it, yes. Correct.
You forget
Sai,
then you kill it.
You kill it. Nice.
Wow.
Correct. So, those were the times when Swami was giving that usual treatment to students.
Okay.
You understand what I mean, right? So, treatment means that time he will withdraw from students because he wants to correct something, you
yes.
know, the course correction action,
yes.
generally. So you will
some
start talking.
Some introspection that he wants students
he
to
do. He wants us to do all that. Swami is not speaking, so we were all going through that mill. Meanwhile, some of us, some four or five of us, my classmates, I was in my first PG, I think, 91. We had come up with a nice slideshow with a running commentary behind. Explaining about certain aspects of Veda and Upanishad, so on and so forth. So the slides will depict some picture very apt for a particular passage in a Vedam stanza. And some of students also chanted those Vedam lines with nice beautiful music behind all that. And we told Swami during darshan time, got an opportunity. We just extended the card. Swami was trying to avoid anyway, but from far he saw that card. And the next day when he came closer and then he picked it up and then he went inside. It did not speak. So how to reach Swami now? So we went and approached our Vice Chancellor, sir, Professor Sampath. So we requested, sir, please request on our behalf that we want Swami to see this. So he was the liaison between students and Swami. Swami will not speak to us directly.
Mm.
So he will go tell Swami and then next day we'll go and meet him in the office. And then he will say, yeah, Swami is happy that you are doing this, but where you would like to have this?
Mm-hmm.
So we were smart. We said, we want to have it in the hostel.
Oh.
That this can be an opportunity to, you know, break the ice.
Yes. Yes.
But Swami was smarter. Bhagavan said, no, not in the hostel.
Oh my God.
Basically, we want Swami to come and see that, right?
Yes.
And it needs a projection and a lot of arrangements, all that. In the darshan grounds in Mandir, we couldn't show it. So finally, I think Swami only suggested, let's have something in between. That is the university auditorium. Swami said, I am happy, I'll come and see it. By tomorrow evening, you should get ready. That's the word he sent to us. So within a day, we had to get ready.
Hmm.
So we sat and did the final touches, all that.
Must have been very difficult. It's not the days of PowerPoint presentations,
exactly.
Right?
That's true. Those days, hardly any resources. So we had really spent long nights and till the moment came, that Swami, till the time Swami entered the campus, we were
still working
on it. And then and Swami finally came and sat on the throne. And we were ready.
Just finished.
Oh
my God.
Still remember, that was called Shruti to Srishti. That was the title of the slideshow.
Beautiful.
First of its kind in our university.
One of the names of the Veda is Shruti.
Right.
So Shruti to Srishti.
Srishti. How actually the Srishti
creation
is explained in Vedas. Veda. And we took Purusha Suktam and some other stanzas to kind of substantiate it with some nice pictures, all that, and music.
Commentary.
And Swami saw that end to end and was so happy, and then he had brought several VIPs also with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the auditorium was full and Swami was praising all students. So see, this is an example how Swami encourages the youth, right?
Wow.
When it comes to talent, when it comes to this, when he sees somebody, immediately, see, this is another beautiful aspect of Swami. Wow.
And it served so many purposes there, right?
Correct.
One was that, yes, you had this interest to do something different.
Correct.
And, you know, he wanted to reward you profusely for that.
Correct.
He wanted to encourage you for that.
Yes.
And secondly, you also found out a way to, you know, bring Swami back.
Correct.
I think if you have that sincerity.
Yes.
And you know, if you take correct. That, really work with all heart to win his love
correct.
Back. And
yes.
you put in that effort.
Correct.
I think, as Swami says, his heart is as soft as butter.
Butter, that's true, that's true. Little warmth is required.
Little warmth,
yeah. So these are some of the unforgettable incidents, actually.
So that was Brother Raghunath Sharma. And wasn't that an amazing instance where there is sincerity and purity? There is Sai all the way for you. He will go to any extent to raise you, to redeem you, to lift you, and sometimes in ways unimaginable, unfathomable. In fact, this reminds me of something that happened way back in the 1940s. It concerns the Yadalam family, who were residents of Bukkapatnam, about 15 kilometers from Puttaparthi. They are in fact the first families who recognized Bhagwan's divinity in that era. When Swami suddenly announced that he does not belong to his earthly family and he has come for the whole world and he cannot be bound by this Maya, he has his work to do. In 1940, everyone around found this to be very strange and they were even more flabbergasted with all the miracles and the indecipherable things that young Satya used to do. And what also happened is the number of people that started converging in the little village of Puttaparthi, as if from nowhere you had so many people coming to this hamlet. And what also happened is many people could not take the popularity of young Satya. Many were jealous of him. How could such a small boy attract so many people? In fact, they were so envious that they actually wanted to disrupt his work. They wanted to destroy his every project. They wanted to destroy him, if possible. And what they used to do is cause inconvenience to people who came to Puttaparthi. This was one way they thought they can ensure that young Satya slowly is diminished. They wanted to make the lives of people who came to Puttaparthi miserable, so that they'll be dissuaded to come to this place. So in this scenario, it was quite a challenge in those days for people to come to Puttaparthi. Apart from the fact that the facilities in this village was so rudimentary. But what was more difficult to deal with is this hostile behavior of people. People in Puttaparthi, people around Puttaparthi, people in Kottacheru, people in Bukkapatnam, but one family which stood its ground and walked against the grain was this Yadalam family. They were the ones in Bukkapatnam who did whatever they could to help devotees who were coming to Puttaparthi. They would provide refreshments, they would even arrange conveyance for people who were looking for ways and means to somehow reach this wonder boy of Puttaparthi about whom they have heard so much. The Yadalam family had a grocery store in Bukkapatnam and they supplied materials from that to people. In fact, in those days, as I said, Puttaparthi had so minimal facilities and shops that people from Puttaparthi would go all the way to Bukkapatnam to this Yadalam shop to buy groceries. And the Yadalam family did whatever they could for the devotees. And how they developed such an indomitable faith in such challenging times when everyone opposed their choice is something very interesting. So what happened is once Yadalam Venkatramanappa set out to Puttaparthi to find out for himself who this Sai Baba is. He had heard many tales about him. Now he wanted to examine it himself. So he had decided in his mind that he will ask Baba, this young Baba, about three things. About his own health, about his business, and about his daughter's family problem. So he came to Puttaparthi and he heard that Swami is in Subbamma's house. He went there, but he saw that the house is full of devotees. It is crowded. It was really difficult to get in, and he thought it would be really difficult for him to have any audience with Bhagwan. So he almost lost hope and he was just standing outside at the rear end of this gathering. And suddenly, in just a few minutes, someone comes to him and says, Baba is calling you, Baba is calling you. And he is taken inside. And once he is inside, the moment Swami sees him, one after another, he answers all his questions, all the issues predominant in his mind without he even opening his mouth. Swami recounted all his issues, and not only that, he went further and he assured him complete grace, complete protection. Venkataramanappa was stunned. He was completely taken in, bowled over by Bhagwan's omniscience and this omni-assurance and grace. Immediately he invited Swami to come to Bukkapatnam, and Bhagwan too most lovingly accepted his request. And when Bhagwan went to Bukkapatnam subsequently, Venkataramanappa with all devotion offered Pada Puja to Swami, ceremonially worshipped his feet, and then he even took Bhagwan out in a procession there. And Swami loved to stay in his house. In fact, Bhagwan was very playful with his entire family. He himself would wear the garlands made by the family and go about merrily singing songs. Bhagwan would just be so relaxed in his house. He would pick up sweets and snacks from the house and go and distribute to people in need. Sometimes he would open their boxes of jewelry and Swami himself would wear those ornaments and ask them, "Tell me, how do I look? Do I look beautiful?" He was that playful with that family. he would just let his hair down with them. Maybe the purity of this couple was so intense, was so full that Lord loved to be childlike with them. The purity that pervaded their hearts captured the Lord. In fact, one day, Swami went to Yadalam Nagamma, the wife of Venkataramanappa, and said, "Amma, I am very tired today. My legs are aching." No, this is what Swami is telling Yadalam Nagamma. And then she said, "Swami, that is because you are walking so much. You should take rest, Swami. Why do you walk so much?" And then Swami said, "What to do? It is all for the sake of my devotees. I have to do it." And then Nagamma was so sweet, she immediately made hot water and she made arrangements for Bhagwan's bath so that, you know, a refreshing bath would make him feel energetic and fresh. She would apply oil, she would apply turmeric powder on Swami to relieve him of his so-called pain. That is how much this couple loved Swami, and Swami too loved to be loved by them. In fact, once Bhagwan materialized a pitam, a pedestal, which is generally used to keep idols. But Swami did not create any idols for them. But Swami said very significantly, "I am here in the center of this pitam. I am there in the center of this pedestal. On either side stand Parvati and Parameshwar." Wow! Isn't that such a beautiful revelation? Bhagwan is telling them that he is there at the center. He is in fact the Shiva Shakti Swarupa. One side is Shiva, other side is Shakti. On another occasion, he materialized a yellow kafni that Shirdi Sai Baba used to wear and gave it to the Yadalam family, to Yadalam Nagamma. In fact, the Yadalam family, interestingly, believed in Shirdi Baba for very long. So the Shirdi connection with Sai was always there in this family. Later on, once Swami suggested the Yadalams to open a grocery shop in Puttaparthi. But look at the Yadalam's devotion. They said, "Swami, Puttaparthi is your birthplace. We don't want to do business there. There we come to remove our desires. We don't want to do anything there which will increase our desires. We don't want to have anything to do with desires there. We want to keep our devotion pure, Swami." This is how elevated their thought process was. This is in the 1940s. Hardly a few people believed in Bhagwan. And it was during this period that once Yadalam Venkataramanappa suddenly lost sensation in his limbs and he became bedridden. In fact, it was so severe that he was confined to the bed all the time. He was almost paralyzed. He could not get up or walk. And now everyone took this opportunity and started teasing this family. They told him, "Do you know why you are suffering? It is because you allowed that Bhat Raju boy to enter to your house. You allowed that magic fellow to come to your home. You gave him support. You took him in a procession. See what troubles have befallen you now. We told you not to encourage that boy. See your condition. Will that boy come and cure you now?" These were the kinds of comments they were bombarded with day in and day out in Bukkapatnam. The pain of hearing these words for them was more than the pain of undergoing that earthly suffering, that bodily suffering that Venkataramanappa was going through. He didn't know what to do. In fact, people did not stop there. They even went to Bhagwan to the extent of going to Puttaparthi and challenging Swami. They said, "Swami, Swami, your devotee is that Venkataramanappa. He is suffering with pain and you have not done anything for him. Can you cure him?" And the moment Swami heard this, Swami said, "I know what to do. I will walk to Bukkapatnam and cure his disease." And that is exactly what Bhagwan did. That night, Swami literally did that. When everyone was asleep, Swami traveled the whole distance by foot in the middle of the night. And in that dark hour, there was a knock on the door of the Adalams. And as soon as Bhagwan reached, the Swami called out, "Narayana, Narayana," Swami just called out. And Venkatramanappa's daughter-in-law, Jankamma, she woke up, she lit the lamp and opened the door. And she was stunned to see Swami there standing outside all by himself. And Swami immediately asked for Venkatramanappa. He was lying down in the next room. Swami went to his bedside. And Swami said, "What is this? Why are you lying down like this, like an invalid? Get up! Walk! Walk, Venkatramanappa." And Swami instantly materialized dates for him to eat. And Venkatramanappa was so overwhelmed with Bhagwan's presence, his love, his grace, his materialization, he just held those dates in both his hands and he didn't know what to do. And Swami said, "What are you doing with? Why are you just holding these dates? For whom are you saving these dates for? Have it." And then Swami himself took the dates back. He removed the seeds and gave them one by one to Venkatramanappa. And he personally fed those dry fruits. Not only that, Bhagwan stayed there the entire night, the rest of the night, on his bed till it was morning. And by the time it was dawn, Venkatramanappa was perfect. He was hale, hearty, healthy, happy. Then Swami blessed him profusely and then took his leave, got onto a bullock cart and returned to Puttaparthi. That is what the Lord will do where there is purity. And it is this love of Bhagwan which has transformed so many so irrevocably, so indelibly, and propelled and inspired so many to walk on this path of love. Walking on this path of love sounds very beautiful when we talk about it, isn't it? And it might seem quite challenging when we actually put it into action in our everyday lives, dealing with all sorts of people during our day. But can we really do it? Can we really walk on this path of love during our entire day? I met someone who has so beautifully converted this practice of walking on the path of love, so exciting. He has tried to give it a framework and he is every day thrilled by the experience he is blessed with. Every day, every moment is an experiment, it's a love experiment. In fact, he has started an informal group called Love at Work in Australia. Brother Venkat Reddy, an enthusiastic Sai doctor from Down Under. Let's listen to one of his experiments, walking on the path of love. Wow, and you have started this group called Love at Work, where you have taken this practice of living by his words on a very serious footing. So, if you can share certain experiences after you started this Love at Work program, because I know we have had conversation about it on the radio in the past, but if you can share one or two examples or illustrations that you've experienced recently of this beautiful exercise, Love at Work, that you are busy with in Australia.
Well, two examples come to mind. These are two incidents that happened, which are really quite beautiful. They stay in my mind. Love at Work is simply taking a small, simple action and performing it repeatedly to remind ourselves of Swami's presence, of the presence of love within our hearts and all around us, the presence of goodness in our heart and all around us. Secondly, reflecting on that, back to Swami, to say, "Swami, how much of me, how much of my ego was there?" And then thirdly, getting together and sharing our experiences. So two incidents come to mind. My love at work action is to see the patient as Swami. The patient who is in front of me, try to greet and treat him as if they were Swami. And recently I was at a medical camp. And I had this 80-year-old patient. Now, often in medical camps, you know, there are many patients that are, you have to get through many patients in a day. It's a very busy time. And often we don't have the time to connect with patients, actually, because there are so many people waiting. But I try to make a point that even within, trying to learn from Swami's example, that even within a few seconds, you can impart love to somebody. You know, Swami would do that even with a look.
Yes.
Right? So I saw this 80-year-old lady, and she was in the waiting queue, and you know, my eyes fell on her every now and then, and she was fidgeting, she was a bit nervous, looked like she had come with her daughter. So as soon as I called her, I felt that I should give her a little bit extra attention, thinking, Swami, you have come as this lady to me. She's 80 years of age. And just a very simple lady wearing, I can remember her very vividly now, wearing a long purple dress, and she had, you know, a white orni or a scarf around her neck. And she came and sat in front of me. And as I was asking her history and her problems, etc., I was just putting love on her through my heart, from my heart, you know, just putting light on her, thinking, Swami, if you were sitting in front of me, this is what I would do. And I was trying to put her at ease too, because I could see that she was a little bit nervous. People sometimes are very nervous about their health. They have concerns. And so then I commented about her dress. I said, it's a very beautiful dress. And I tried on, put on a pair of glasses on her, and it was a purple frame glasses. And she said, I'll take this one. And I said, no, mother. I said, this is not the correct number. I was just trying different numbers. I said, you might need a different one. She said, no, it matches my dress. I'll take this. And then I just laughed and I tried on another pair on her, and it was an orange pair of glasses, orange pair. Whenever I see orange, I think of Swami. So I put that on her and I said, okay, this is the correct number. It turned out to be the correct number for her eyes. And she said, okay, she said, I'll take this one then. If you tell me this is the right one, I'll take this one and I will get an orange dress made to match the glasses.
Oh.
So we both had a laugh, you know, and it was just a beautiful moment. All of a sudden, as I was writing my notes, Bishu, the thought came to my mind, touch her feet, get her blessings. Now, I'm just incredulous even thinking about that thought now. You know, you don't do that to a patient.
Exactly.
It's unheard of, right?
I know.
And especially, you know, I'm based in a Western country. That's the system I'm trained in. It's very unheard of for us. But this thought just came, take her blessings like this. And I thought, I'm seeing patient as Swami, sure. But isn't this going too far?
Yeah.
My ego stepped in, right? I said, no, no, it's not appropriate. Others are watching. See? So initial thought was absolutely crystal clear. Take her blessings. Then this ego thoughts came in. So I said, okay, no, I won't do it. So I said to myself, no, no, I won't do it. So I kept writing, and I finished writing her prescription, etc. And I handed it to her. As she got up, and as she was coming past me, she put her hands on me and took namaskar from me.
Oh.
Just how you would go to an idol and you would touch the idol and you would do namaskar to your chest. She did that to me.
Wow.
And immediately as a reflex, I just bent down and touched her feet.
Oh my God.
And then she put her hand on my head.
Wow.
You know. And I was so overwhelmed, I had to leave the room. I went outside and I just, again, that experience of Swami's presence, immediate presence. You know, I was just overwhelmed. Tears were coming. And I said, you know, they can't, other patients can't see me like that. So what that told me was that once I recognize Swami in the patient, then he takes it seriously.
Wow.
That he is in that patient. And that if my ego gets in the way, it won't stop him. It won't stop him. How humble is our Swami that he will bend to us. The Lord bending to the devotee. I mean, that thought just blew me away, Bishu. And I had to, like I said, leave the room. Later on, that lady's daughter rang me and said that my mother asked to tell you that she was very, very happy the way that you treated her and the way that you looked after her. And she was very nervous and you put her at ease. And she's very, very happy. And I felt, that was my second wave of joy. I felt, Swami, you know, you really did come. And you gave me the opportunity to do a little bit of something for you. At least think of you. The second example, Bishu, is one that I experienced in England. It was a very, very busy clinic. Again, a lot of patients. And one patient in particular was causing a commotion in the waiting room. It was a diabetic patient, and he was getting very angry, I guess because, you know, he hadn't had his meals and his sugar level was playing up. And so he was causing quite a commotion. Moreover, he was actually poisoning the waiting room. You know, he was telling the other patients, look at this terrible clinic, you know, these guys don't know what they're doing, they're making us wait and all this stuff. And so his anger was transmitted to other people and we're almost a rebellion on our hands. So the nurse came to me quietly and she said to me, she said, can you see this man? There were a number of us in the clinic, she could have gone to anybody. But she said, can you see this man? I said, of course. So I called him in and she told me the story. She said, this is what's happening, this is what's been going on for the last few minutes. So immediately I had a framework in my mind, this man is a very angry man, I'm going to have to deal with him properly. But that didn't stop me from doing my Love at Work action. I thought, okay, Swami, you have come. Today you have come in the form of an angry man. You know, I said, Swami, but you are not fooling me. You know, I said, I know it's you. I know it's you in there. You're trying to put on a big act, but I know this is you, right? So I said, Swami, all that's left is for you to treat yourself with love through me. So immediately I called this man in, and I tried to be very professional with him. I said, sir, I apologize for your wait. And I said that I won't prolong, you know, your time anymore. Let's just get right to it and let's try to sort you out. So in the first few minutes, you know, he was still quite angry. And as we went along, he simmered down. He became quieter and quieter. And all the time I was doing things for him. You know, I was trying to, you know, do as well as I could for him. So it's important to me, Bishu, that, you know, love is not enough. To be compassionate, to be nice is not enough. You have to be professional. You have to actually do your job properly. You have to pay attention to detail. What you've been trained to do, you should do that to the best of your ability. Professionalism plus love. That's what I was trying to do here with this man, as I do with every patient. Anyway, as he simmered down, then he started cracking jokes at me. Mm-hmm. You know, with me. And I can't remember what those jokes were. But we started to laugh. Both of us were laughing.
Wow.
Then I said, sir, you know, I let you go because there are other people waiting and I don't want other people to, you know, start throwing chairs in the waiting room, that sort of thing. And he laughed at that. And as I led him to the door, this same man announced to the waiting room, said, oh, this guy is so funny. This doctor is so funny. He's great. You should see him. He was extolling my virtues. And not only that, but he went to the front desk and he gave a compliment to the front desk and apologized for his behavior.
Wow.
And then the nurse, the same nurse who had told me about him, came to me and said, what did you do to him? You know, I said, I didn't do anything. You know, I said, I just treated him. She said, yeah, we were hearing laughter coming up. She said, we were listening to see what, you know, what will happen. You know, will Venkat get thrown out of the room or what? So that is the power of Swami's love and his example of doing things properly. I'm told that many examples of Swami paying attention to detail, trying to do the job properly to serve people. So that combination of trying to do the job properly and doing it with love, that occasion showed me that that is the way to practice love at work, actually.
Wow. It would be a great way to begin this exercise. If every day, if we decide at least one person we meet, we're going to treat that person as Swami.
Beautiful.
We may not be able to do it with every person we interact during the day.
Yes.
But I think one way to get started, perhaps, is I decide that this one, the next half an hour, whomever I'm going to meet, I will treat that person as Swami.
It's a really nice way to be. And we were talking earlier on about how beautiful Swami's darshan is and his sparshan and his sambhashan. Can you imagine if you at least strived to have that experience,
yes,
once a day, how beautiful it would be. Beautiful idea, Bishu.
Amazing. So that is Dr. Venkat Reddy from Australia, who has started this group called Love at Work, where they share with each other their experiments of making love work in their life. Making love come alive in their lives, in their practical lives. How wonderful it would be if we can make love the modus operandi of all our work, of all our activity, of all our executions during the day. It doesn't matter whether we are a doctor, an artist, or a construction worker. Because if there's anything that Bhagwan stressed emphatically across all discourses over these 8 decades to people of all countries and cultures and age groups, it was only this. This is the common thread that binds everything of Bhagwan, his message, his life, his medium, his materializations, everything is bound by this. Let me play for you what Bhagwan said on his birthday in the year 2000. Just another reiteration, another reminder of this profound concept that explains, if at all anything can explain, the phenomenon that is I.
Embodiments of
love.
If you want to have your desires
fulfilled,
love will grant all the boons. Don't hate
anybody.
This is the true idea.
This is
the main message today.
Prema swaroopulu meeru kavali.
You are the embodiment of love.
Prema hrudayulu kavali.
And you should have the
heart of love.
You should be the personification
of love.
And you should experience love infinite.
కనుక ఇదియే ఈనాడు మీకు ఇచ్చేటువంటి గొప్ప గిఫ్ట్.
దిస్ ఈస్ ది బిగ్గెస్ట్ గిఫ్ట్ దట్ భగవాన్ ఈస్ గివింగ్ టు యూ దిస్ మార్నింగ్.
ఇది ఒక్క ధనమే.
దిస్ ఈస్ ద చీఫ్ వెల్.
ఇవన్నీ కూడా నా ఒక్కటి కాదు.
ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ నన్ బిలాంగ్
టు ఏదో భక్తులు కట్టించారు, భక్తులవే ఇవన్నీ కూడా.
దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ బిల్ట్ బై డివోటీ.
నా దగ్గర ఉన్నటువంటి ఓన్ ప్రాపర్టీ ఒక్కటే.
భగవాన్స్ హోల్ ప్రాపర్టీ ఇస్ వన్.
ప్రేమనే ప్రేమనే ప్రేమనే.
లవ్ ఈస్ హిస్ బిగ్గెస్ట్ ఓన్లీ హోల్ ప్రాపర్టీ. అండ్ ఇస్ prepared to give you
tanmadi dehamaina meeku istanu
and is ready to give his body.
Meeru aanandanga jeevinchandi.
Lead a blissful life.
Aadarshavantuluga bratakandi.
Be ideal.
Nijamainatundi aanandam naaku appudu kalugutundi.
And then Bhagavan will experience this.
Ee naaku aanandam kaadu.
This is not
మీ ప్రేమనే నాకు ఆనందము.
యువర్ లవ్ మేక్స్ హిమ్ హ్యాపీ.
నా ప్రేమనే మీకు ఆ సౌభాగ్యము.
భగవాన్స్ లవ్ ఈజ్ యువర్ వెల్త్.
కనుక దానిని మీరు కాపాడుకోవాలని నేను ఆశిస్తూ ఆశీర్వదిస్తూ నా ప్రసంగాన్ని విరమిస్తుంది.
భగవాన్ వాంట్స్ us to preserve, sustain, protect this divine law.
This is the message from one of his birthday discourses. He says his only gift is love. And if at all we can give him or anything that he looks for us, looks from us, is only this love. And so beautifully Bhagwan in every discourse used to stress this, start the day with love, fill the day with love, spend the day with love, end the day with love. This is the way to reach me. The legendary blues singer Dana Gillespie actually set this quote of Bhagwan into music in our own mellifluous, beautiful way. Let's listen to this and ruminate on what Bhagwan just said, on this supremely edifying and life-giving and life-sustaining principle of love. Let's seriously think how to make love the essence of our life and living, the modus operandi of our work and recreation. Let's start, fill, spend, and end our lives with love.
Start the day with love, Spend the day with love. Fill the day with love. End the day with love. This is the way to God. This is the way to God. Start the day with love. Spend the day with love. Fill the day with love. End the day with love. This is the way to God. This is the way to God. Prema Swarupa, O Bhagavan. Pati Purisha Jai Ram. Start the day with love. Spend the day with love. Fill the day with love. End the day with love. This is the way to God. 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 This is the way to God.
They say one day someone asked Jesus, "Lord, how much do you love us?" And the master answered with a smile, "This much." And he started to stretch his hands, and as he stretched his hands and stretched it more and more, he stayed in that position and gave his life on the cross. God's love is immeasurable. It knows no boundaries, and he is willing to go to any extent, stretch to any extent to guide us, to protect us, to save us. Christmas is round the corner. This is that beautiful month of pure love and sacrifice. The essence of love is sacrifice and selflessness. And perhaps it is time to ponder, how much love are we allowing to seep into us? Are we willing to let go of our desires, our attachments, our positions? Are we letting go at least a little of our anger, little of our greed, little of our jealousy? Are we letting go? Are we letting go the world and letting God in? Perhaps this is something for us to ponder in this beautiful month. Are we giving enough chance for love to do miracles in our life? We began where Bhagwan addressed us as Prema Swarup Lara. Bhagwan said, "We are sons of love, we are sons of immortality. We need to strive towards this Amrita, this immortality, this bliss. And the way is love, the path is love. The goal, of course, is that pure love." Well, that is our journey, that is the journey of you, me, everyone on this planet. And Bhagwan has so beautifully laid it down for us, how to go about it. Love lives by giving and forgiving. It lives by scattering. It is defined by scattering, not gathering. Let's work, dear brothers and sisters, towards such a beautiful life, where the only fragrance that fills you within and without is this phantasmagoric fragrance of purity, sublimity, and divinity. With that, it's time to close this beautiful session of Utsaha. It's been a really very ennobling moment for me to conduct this session. I hope you too have found something useful in it. Please feel free to share your thoughts. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with us for this episode of Utsaha, the Youth Hour on Radio Sai, for all of us who are young at heart. So with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this beautiful Thursday of series of programs coming to you live from the studios of Radio Sai. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and on behalf of all my colleagues, I thank each one of you for being with us and place my humble salutations and grateful pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet for this beautiful opportunity to share His love and sing His glory with all of you. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.